We begin the current daf, Masechtas by the Zohar daf Chavav. Begin 11 lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in the series of the Mishnais discussing the different types of relationships that the Jewish people have with Ivdei Kechavim, with idolaters, with non-Jews. It says the Mishnah, Bas Yisrael, Leitayalet Es Ha'ivadis Kechavim. A Jewish woman should not be a midwife, should not help give birth to an idolatrous woman. Why? Because she's helping give birth to a son, to idolatry, which is problematic, so therefore she shouldn't be an implicit player in helping give birth. But a non-Jewish woman could help a Jewish woman give birth. So too regarding another area, a Jewish woman should not nurse the son of a non-Jewish woman. But a non-Jewish woman can nurse, could be a wet nurse, for the son of a Jewish woman, in the domain of the Jewish woman. However, she should not give over her infant to the house of the non-Jewish woman, because then that non-Jewish woman might kill the Jewish child. But in the Jewish woman's own home, she could have a non-Jewish woman nurse her child. And the Gemara brings that actually the halachas of our Mishnah is actually a machlekes. Turn around, learn the braisa. Bas Yisrael, like we said in the Mishnah, lo tiyalis avodis kechavim, should not help give birth to a non-Jewish woman. Because she's helping bring a child in to an idolatrous. Continues the Braisa. So too, a non-Jewish woman should not help give birth to a Jewish woman. Even as we're going to shortly see, if other Jewish women are around during the birthing, still the woman helping give birth should not be a non-Jewish woman. Because they're suspect regarding murder, divrei me'etzah pin divrei me'er. They say, no, like we said in our Mishnah, a non-Jewish woman could be the midwife, could be the doctor helping give birth to the Jewish woman. If there are other people, other women that are standing over there during the birthing, but not if the only two people is the woman giving birth and the non-Jewish midwife, that's problematic, but if there are other Jewish women, that's permitted. So the Gemara explains. Remeir who disagrees, obviously he says, even if there are other Jewish women around there in the room and the Jewish woman is giving birth, still the midwife should not be a non-Jewish woman. Why? Because at times, the non-Jewish midwife could put her hand on the front part of the skull of the infant, of the embryo, which is very soft. She could push her hand in over there. She could kill him that way because it's so soft. And it's not going to be visible. No one's going to recognize that she killed him. It's going to be, oh, it's a stillborn. It was born dead. Like there was a certain woman who told to her friend, she was mocking her, saying, you're the midwife of Jewish women, the daughter of someone who is a midwife of Jewish women. That was like a curse. So she answered back and she said to her friend, Nafishin bishasa dahi itza, there should be so many evils coming upon you, like the amount of the that I had diminished from the Jewish children and that I killed of them, the komashpilna minayu dama, which I have spilled their blood, ki ufya dinah, or like the scum of the river, like the foaming, there's so much blood that was spilled from them because of, like we said, this concern. Where she could put her hand when the baby's coming out and press on the skull and kill the child. So therefore, Meir says, one should never have a non-Jewish midwife. Even if there's Jewish women around, they can't see what she's manipulating over there in the birthing. But Rabbanan, they who hold that, no, if there are other Jewish women over there, it's permitted, because Amar Lach, they would tell you, Lohi. Actually, it's not true like this woman was saying. But Milsim Amahu de Kimta, she was just answering in retort. But she actually didn't kill some of the Jewish babies, because when there's other Jewish women around, she can't go ahead and do that without being analyzed, and she wouldn't be able to get away with it. And therefore, it's permitted to have the non-Jewish woman, according to Rabbanan, be the Mialedes at a time when there's other Jewish women around. Next halacha of the Mishnah said, Bas Yisrael Leitainik, a Jewish woman should not nurse a non-Jewish child. So here also regarding this second halacha of the Mishnah, there's also machlekes. Tarbon in the Braisa. Bas Yisrael Leitainik Benel Shal Abetz Kechavim. We said in the Mishnah that a Jewish woman should not nurse the non-Jewish child. Neshemegedelis Ben Abetz Kechavim, because she's bringing up, through nourishing with her nursing, a child to idolatry. Now, Vayvedes Kechavim Leitainik is Benel Shal Bas Yisrael. Unlike the halacha of the Mishnah, this opinion holds that a non-Jewish woman is also not allowed to nurse the son of a Jewish woman. Because they are suspect regarding somehow murdering the Jewish child when they're nursing it. That's divrei meir. Now, Chachamim, they disagree, like the halacha by Mishnah. No, that the non-Jewish woman is allowed to nurse the Jewish child. Like we said in the Mishnah, when it's in the Jewish woman's home, meaning when there's other Jewish women around. But not between just her and the child, because then she might actually kill the child. Now the Gemara explains, he who says, obviously he's saying that even if there's other Jewish women around, that the non-Jewish woman is not allowed to nurse the Jewish child. Why? Because at times what she could do is she could put a poison around her nipples, when she's still outside the home. She's going to come in, she's going to look like she has no weapons. For Kotlin, she's going to kill the child, because when the child's nursing from her, it's going to be nursing from the poison. Now the Gemara says, you have to say both your mayor's halachas and the machlikas remain the chachamim regarding both of these halachas of our Mishnah, because diash min mialed this, had we only said the halacha of, which they seemingly seem like the same idea. Are we suspect, or are we not, if there's other people around? Had we said the halacha regarding the midwife, but he come Rabban Dashari, we would say maybe only with the other Rabban permit the non-Jewish woman to be the midwife. Because it's not possible for it to kill the child that is being born. There are other Jewish women who see her, and if she's going to try to manipulate her hand to crush the skull, they're going to see. And since she suspects, they realize she's not a Jewish woman, the Jewish women are going to be looking, and she's going to be afraid. She's not going to do such a thing. Of Manika regarding the nursing woman, the Efshar the Shayfal the Sam Ladad Mavroi, where she could go ahead and put the poison around her nipples before she comes into the Jewish home, and no one sees anything, and it could be without a smell, without a taste. For Kotlin, she's going to kill the Jewish child. So we would say that maybe there they would agree to Remeir that it would be forbidden to have the non-Jewish woman nurse the child, even if there's other Jewish women around. That's where they say halacha, even over there. So to the other way, we only said the case of their machloek is regarding the nursing non-Jewish woman. Well, I would say maybe only over there Remeir says it's forbidden. But like we said, because there's no really way of finding her out. She could go out and put this poison on the outside when no one sees her and then come in. Regarding the midwife, where she can't really kill a child if there are other Jewish women looking over her shoulder as the birth is happening. I would say maybe he agrees to the Rabban over there. So let's say in both cases, no, they both disagree. In both cases, if there's other women around, are we concerned that she might kill the child or not? Now, the Gemara, however, asked Vermindu. The Gemara asked on the halacha of our Mishnah with the following brisa. Our Mishnah said that a Jewish woman, however, is not allowed to give birth, and so for all opinions we saw share that halacha, she cannot give birth to a non-Jewish child because she's bringing an idolatrous child up in the world. On that, as the Gemara, the brisa says, Yehudis mialedis oivetis kechav mischar. No, that there are some exceptions, not like the blanket halacha of the Mishnah. It says a Jewish woman could be the midwife for a non-Jewish woman if she's getting paid, but not if she's not getting paid. But one thing you see is that she could be the midwife if she's getting paid. And then Rabbi Yisrael says, not difficult. Bischar shari mishum eva. Yeah, if she's getting paid, then it's permitted for her to be the midwife because it might cause hatred. In other words, our Mishnah was talking about in general, which is if she's not getting paid, where then she could go ahead and excuse herself and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't do you the favor now, part of my free service, because I need to make money for my sustenance. So that's not going to cause Eva. The Bryce was talking about halacha of because of hatred, enmity, because they might say, hey, you want me? This is your job. Why aren't you taking me as a client? If it must be because you hate us non-Jews. For that reason, that's why it's going to be permitted. Now, some Rav Yisrael may Rav Yisrael thought by extension to say that Eiludi Avedis Kechavim B'Shabbata B'Schar Shari. Even to be the midwife for a non-Jewish woman on Shabbos is going to be permitted if she's getting paid, just like it's permitted during the weekday, Mishum Eva, because of hatred. Because they see that the midwife helps the Jewish woman give birth on Shabbos, just like during the weekday. So if we're not going to go and be the midwife for them on Shabbos, it's also going to cause hatred. Which I'm allowed by Abayis HaTrav Yisiv, no. Yachla L'Meimala, the Jewish woman could tell to the non-Jewish woman client that, no, on Shabbos, I don't do my job. Didan Dimitri Shabbat to our women who they keep Shabbos mechalin alive. So we could desecrate the Shabbos for them to keep many Shabbos so that they could survive and the child could survive. Didchu Dimitri Shabbat, but you who you don't keep Shabbos, loy mechalin, and our law does not allow us to desecrate Shabbos, and if that wouldn't cause hatred, they would understand the difference between a Jewish woman who's giving birth and a non-Jewish woman. Similarly, Sub Rav Yisrael Lameim Rav Yisrael thought to say, and then again Abaya responding, the Gemara brings a few of these types of halachas. If Yisrael thought to say, Anuki b'schar shari, nursing the non-Jewish child for pay is going to be permitted, Mishum Eva. The same way we say that for birth is the same thing, like the Braisa said, as we explained, is because of Eva, we're allowed to give birth to the non-Jewish women. So to the nursing is the same idea. What do you mean? You're a wet nurse. You do it for all Jewish children. How come you don't take me? Must be because of hatred. So Amar Abai, Abai said, no, Yochel Lameimer, the Jewish woman could respond as follows. If she's a single woman, she could say, I want to get married. I don't feel that it's appropriate for me to be revealing myself in this type of a way. And if she's a married woman, I don't want to make myself filthy in front of my husband or in front of other men. In other words, there's an excuse she could say. With an excuse, a rationale, they'll take that and that won't cause Eva, and therefore there's no permissibility to be the wet nurse for a non-Jewish child. Similarly, Sivir of Yisrael, the man of Yisrael thought to say, Hod Tanya. Regarding Allah in the following verse that says, Ho'ivdikachavim, idol worshippers, V'rei behem edaka, which were evil type of people, the shepherds of small livestock, the Allah is loy malin, loy meridin. If they're stuck in a position that they're about to die, let's say in the bottom of a pit, we don't bring them up. But loy meridin, but we don't send them down. They're not so wicked that we push them down into the pit. If they're down, we don't pick them up, but we don't push them down. Now, that says, Rav Yosef, he thought to say, by extension, but asuki bischar shari. But if let's say they're down in the bottom of the pit and they say, I'll pay $1,000, just get me out of this pit, then it would be permitted to save them, although we say loy meridin, b'shameva, because of hatred, because they say, hey, why aren't you doing this? Must be because you hate us. You would do it for a Jew, and in such a situation, it'd be permitted. Abai said to him, no. There's a rationale that you could avoid the hatred. You could say an excuse that would sound plausible. You could tell him, Koi Beria Igra, my son is on the roof right now, and if I don't get him down, he's going to die, and better that I don't get paid. Yeah, I usually do this in my service, I help people out of situations, but rather I don't get paid and to save my son. Or Inami, or it could say, Nikita Lizimna Lebe Davra, I have an appointment by the government at this certain time today. If I don't go, whatever I'm going to gain by getting paid from you, I'm going to lose because of the repercussion of the government. Since he has an excuse, it's not going to cause, even if there's no permissibility to save this Ebi Kachavim or the Rebbe Hamadaka, since we say, Lay Malin, you're not allowed to bring him up, and it wouldn't even cause Eva. Now, continuing on this halacha that we just mentioned, Tani Rebbe Vo Kamed Rebbe Yechon. Rebbe Vo taught the following brayz of Rebbe Yechon, which the first half we already quoted. Ha'evdi kechavim v'rebe hemedaka, the non-Jew, and those who are shepherds of small livestock, the halacha is Lay Malin. If they're down in a dangerous position in the pit, we don't bring them up, and as we continue to Medbeis, but V'lay Meridin, but we don't push them down to have them killed. Now, Aval, however, in contrast, a more serious types of wicked people. Haminin, the heretics, which are the priests for the idols, whether they be Jews or non-Jews. Vamisiris, or those who are informers, who slander falsely to give over the money of the Jewish people, their Jewish brethren, to the non-Jewish governments. And Vahamumarim, those who rebel against Jewish law, or as some Gersos have it also, the Apikorsin. There, they would actually push them down into the pit to have them die, and they wouldn't bring them out. Now, on that, Braisa, Amalei Rabbi Yechon responded to Rabbi Vo, how can you say this? Anishayna, I learned the following Braisa. The Pasuk says in Sefer Devarim, L'chol Aveidah Sechicha, that you have to do Hashavas Aveidah for all the lost items of your brother. What's that coming to add? It already said that there's an obligation of returning. L'rabbis Tesamumer, it's coming to include even the person who rebels, who does not keep the Torah and the mitzvahs, that is included that you have to do Hashavas Aveidah. So you have to return even this lost object. Fa'ad Amar Hayim Meridin, and you say that they would push them down to have them die? If even his money they returned to him, for sure his life, how can you say that would be included in the Braisa of Hayim Meridin? So says Rav Avoh, Sami Mekan Mumer. So you're right, you have to delete from this Braisa the category of a Mumer, because that person, obviously not Meridin. Now the Gemara asked on Rav Avoh's answer. But V'lishani Le, why didn't he just answer a different answer? Khan, in the Braisa of Rabbi Yechonon, taught, is b'mumer oichel nevelis liti oven. It's talking about someone who rebels, who doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs, who he eats non-kosher because of his desires. Meaning when there's no kosher meat around, then he'll eat non-kosher. But he's not so hefker to, when he has kosher and non-kosher, which tastes just as well, to specifically eat the non-kosher and not the kosher. Because if he would do that, that's what's called the other category of lahachas, just to anger God. Yeah, I'm specifically not doing that. Which, yeah, there that would be a person who's not so bad. It's just that his evil inclination gets the better of him. There is where you even have to do Hashavas Aveidah, for sure you don't kill him. But Khan, but Mumar Eichon Neveilus Lahachas, why couldn't Rebbe Vo said, but his Brice was told, when someone who rebels against Hashem and eats non-kosher and all does these types of things to, in spite God, where then maybe we'd say there it's Meridin. Says the Gemara, no, Ksav Rebbe Vo held, Eichel Nevelis Lahachas, someone who eats non-kosher to anger God, that's Minhu, he's considered a heretic. And we already mentioned in the Braisa, a min, a heretic. So when it says Avlamin Vamasois, you can't say Mumarin, because either way you look at it, if it's a Mumra Lateavin, that we said it can't be Meridin. And if it's a Mumra Lahachas, well, we already mentioned that he's already including the category of a heretic. Now, related to this idea, which actually is a machlekes, what we just said for Bavo, Itmar, we find many things that there's a difference between a min, a heretic, and a mummer, someone who rebels and doesn't keep the Torah in the mitzvahs. For example, let's say a sefer Torah that was written by a heretic gets burned, in contrast it was written by a mummer that doesn't have the same halacha. Now, so the Gemara discusses mummer. What is the categorization of a mummer, someone who rebels against the Torah? Pligi Ravacha Ravina is Machlik Ravacha Ravina. Chadam Alite Oven Mummer. One says that if he rebels against the desires, the Torah, because of his own lusts and desires, that's what he's called a Mummer. Lahachas, if he does it to anger God, and that's why he rebels and doesn't keep the Torah mitzvahs, Minhav is actually considered like a heretic. He has the higher level of a Min, if he would rather save a Torah get burnt. But Chadam, the other one says, no, Afil Lahachas Nami Mummer. Even if he doesn't keep the Torah, he eats non-kosher just to anger God, he's still only considered a mummer, someone who rebels against the Torah, and he's not considered the higher category of a heretic. His sefer Torah would not get burnt. Ele'ezehu min, so then what's considered a heretic? Zeh, even Eli Le'kechav, and that's someone who serves idols, that's someone who's considered a heretic. But someone who doesn't keep all the Torah, but if he doesn't serve Avodah Zarah, he's not considered a min. Now, you might ask Meisvei from the following Braisa. Bryce says, "Achol parish echad." If someone eats one flea, a yitesh echad, or one mosquito, hariz a mummer. So he's considered a mummer who rebels against the Torah, because the Torah does not allow one to eat these types of insects. Now, ask the Gemara, "Vahacha the lahachas." Who here clearly this case is talking about where he's consuming something not kosher to anger God, because no one desires and lusts after eating a mosquito. Uktani mummer. Still, we learned that he's considered a mummer, which is difficult according to the pin, who said that if one does something lahachas considered min, here you see there's only considered a mummer. So the Gemara, no, he's actually eating the mosquito is not considered lahachas. Hasan bay limitim time in the Yisur, he wants to taste something that's forbidden. Not to anger God. He just desires to see, I'm a Jew, I just can't do these things. I know in China they eat these things. Well, I don't really want to eat this. It's not delicious, but it's not lahachas. It's still a desire that he wants to taste this thing, and therefore that's why it's considered a mumin. But yeah, if it was lahachas, then it would be considered a min. Now the Gemara asked, Amamar, the Braisa had said, there was a category that of Evdi Kechavim and Rei Behemadaka, where the second category of the Minam, the Mesaris, the Mumin, the more severe category, that they would push them down into a pit, and also they wouldn't pick them up. Now the Gemara asks, Hashto Chisim Machzis Chsin, these are two different halachas. One is if he's on the top, you push him down. Another one, if he's down, you don't pick him up. So the Gemara asks, If you even lower him down, you push him into a pit, you actively kill him. Do I need to tell you that you're not going to lift him out? Which that's a passive thing? Of course not. I mean, that would be active to have to save him. If you're actively killing him, of course you're not going to go and save him. What does it mean, v'loy malin? So says the Gemara, Mavis Barachama or Rav Sheish says, you're right. Loy nitzcho is only necessary to say loy malin. We don't lift him out. Of course we wouldn't actively lift him out. We actively kill him. It means, shem hoisa mal babar. If in the pit there was an incline, there was like some type of a ramp made in the ground, which through that he can get out, megara, it's an activity that one has to do. We go ahead and we shave that off, that ramp, and when the Braisa says limalin, it means we don't allow him to get out. I mean, it's an activity that requires us to make sure he does not get out. That's very different than that we don't save him. Of course we don't save him, but it means to say make sure he doesn't get saved, don't allow him to get out. Where denakad le'ilava amag, which is that, although we said that in certain situations, actually, you wouldn't be able to be meridin, you wouldn't be able to push him down, because that obviously would cause hatred between the Avdi Kechavim and the Jewish people. It means to say that there could be a case of loy malin, and you could even get away with it, that it wouldn't cause hatred. How so? Because you could find an excuse, and you could say, loy techus chevasa ilave. I don't want that my animals should go through this ramp, and then get stuck down in the pit and then die. So I'm removing this ramp just so my animal shouldn't get damaged. Now, although this guy's obviously going to die because has no way out, but it's not going to cause hatred because the guy could say, hey, look, I didn't mean to kill him, but I don't want something happening to my animals. So to Rabbi Yisuf Damit Havai, they say Lo Nitzcha, no, it's only necessary to say this Loi Malin, which is Shem Hoise Evan Al Pia Be'erif. There was a rock that was near the opening of the pit, Mechasa, by the well, so he covers it. And Amr, he says, L'afurichi Vasei Levei. It's just because I had to get my flock from point A to point B, and they were going over the area of where the well was, and I'm afraid that they shouldn't fall in, so that's why I covered it. Now, obviously this guy who was in the pit is going to die, but hey, don't blame me. I was doing it just to be able to get my animals, and people could hear that rationale and say, look, he wasn't intending to kill him. He was just wanted his animals to get by. A third approach, Ravinam, he says, She'im ha'yisulim, is that if there was a ladder in the pit, misalka, he could take it away, which obviously now the guy's not going to be able to get out and die, but because Amar, he could say and excuse himself by saying, Be'ina lachuse brimigra, I had to get my son down from the roof with the ladder, I had to save my son, where people could hear and say, yeah, look, it's no hatred between Jews and non-Jews, he had to save his child, and really it was because he just didn't want to allow this guy to get out, who was a wicked person, and we had to do all that it takes to make sure that this person does not stay alive. Now, Tanboin learned the Braisa, a similar discussion as the Machlekes we had earlier. Yisrael Molis Ha'ivit Kechavim L'Shum Ger. A Jewish person is allowed to circumcise a non-Jew for the purposes of converting to Judaism. Now, the reason why it says that that's the purpose of circumcision, that that's permitted to do to a non-Jew, says the Gemara Lafuke Mishum Murna. That's excluding if, let's say, he's doing it because there's an infection in the foreskin of the non-Jew, not for the purposes of conversion, then Deloy. And actually, it's forbidden for a Jew to heal a non-Jew for free, because like we said, loy malin v'loy meridin. Yeah, we don't push them down, but neither can we save them. So a Jew is not allowed to go ahead for free and circumcise a non-Jew if it's for medicinal purposes. But that's what the Braisa is saying. If it's for conversion purposes, then the Jew obviously is allowed to circumcise the non-Jew. Now, v'ayve kuchavim lo yimu Yisrael, but a non-Jew is not allowed to circumcise a Jewish child, because they're suspect regarding murder, they might do something harmful and kill the Jewish person. That's the opinion of Rebbe Meir. They say, no, as we said, these machlekes and the Amud Aleph, no, the non-Jew could circumcise the Jew. It's by a bris, and all the Jewish people are standing around looking at the moel, although he's a non-Jew. Then it's permitted. But yeah, if it's just the Jew and the non-Jewish doctor, then that would be prohibited because he might injure and kill the Jew. Now, the Gemara explains, he says, obviously, even if there are other people standing around, even so, it's not permitted for the non-Jew to circumcise the Jew. Why? Because sometimes he could go ahead and he could bend the knife that he's using for the circumcision, and he's going to make the Jew into what's known as a kroy shafcha. Kroy is from the word of cutting. Shafcha is going to make it drip, which means to say it's not going to function anymore as a full-fledged male member, because someone that, from his male member that gets cut off from the crown part and up towards the body, if it gets cut over there, he's not going to be able to have children anymore. So therefore, since he might injure the child, or the man, therefore, even if there's other people around, since it won't be so recognizable, that it's forbidden according to a mayor, even if there's other Jewish people around. Now, the Gemara asks, is that really true, like we just quoted before? Ramey holds that a non-Jew is not allowed to circumcise a Jew, but that seems to be contradictive in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ir she'im ba'refi Yisrael, a city that doesn't have a Jewish doctor who knows how to circumcise, but there is either a Kuti doctor or a non-Jewish doctor who knows how to circumcise. So what should they do? Yimel Eved Kechavim. The non-Jew should circumcise because he doesn't circumcise for the utility of idol worship, because the idol worshippers don't usually circumcise their children. So there's no concern about what his purpose is when he's coming to circumcise. And Valyomal Kuti, but the Kuti should not circumcise, because when he's going to do the circumcision, he's going to do for the purposes of the image of the dove, which they had on Har Gerizim, which was where the Kutim, which was this sect of people that did some type of a conversion to Judaism, but they had some type of idolatry related to them, and they would serve that pigeon, as the Gemara says, it's called Navav Men Aleph. So they would circumcise their children for the purposes of that Avodah Zarah, so rather have the non-Jew, who doesn't usually do circumcision, to do it for the purpose of Avodah Zarah, than the Kuti doctor, who's going to do it for the purposes of his Avodah Zarah. That's the Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda, he says, no, the other way around. Yom al-Kuti val yom al-Av Kechavim. Let the Kuti circumcise and not the non-Jew, because the non-Jew is suspect regarding murder. The Kuti doesn't murder, he's just into that idolatry. So rather have the Kuti circumcise and not the non-Jew. But one thing we see is Rebbe Meir holds, Yom al-Av Kechavim, that the non-Jew should circumcise, yet we just quoted before that he says that the non-Jew should not circumcise, even if there's even other Jews around. So says the Gemara, we have to switch around this last brisa. It's Remeir im yomel kuti v'lo yevit kechavim. It's Remeir who said that the kuti circumcised and not the non-Jew. And Rabbi Huda im yevit kechavim lekuti. It's Rabbi Huda who said that it should be the non-Jew and not the kuti. That is the Gemara regarding this amended version. V'sav Rabbi Huda yevit kechavim shabat dami. What Rabbi Huda holds that the non-Jew could circumcise the Jew. But Ratanel in the brisa, Rabbi Huda im, he says, minayin lamila ba'yevit kechavim shibsula. He says, how do we know that if a non-Jew circumcises a Jew, that that's an invalid circumcision? Shem, like it says in Pasuk in Bereishis. Now Hashem says, Tavram Avinu, Va'ata es Barisi Tishma, and you, my covenant you should safeguard, like the Pasuk there ends, you and your children to come after you, that we see that only a Jew could do circumcision, and not a non-Jew. So Ela rather says, right, don't switch it around. But then we have the contradiction between your mayor's opinions. So the Gemara of Hachmai Skin, what are we talking about over here? As we continue to talk about Chavisayim and Aleph, where a mayor seems to say that the non-Jewish doctor could circumcise, is Bereifim Mumcha, is by a professional doctor who wouldn't risk his reputation and make the Jewish child into a Krei Shavcha. And therefore, if we only have a Kuti doctor and the Eivik Chacham doctor, you choose the Eivik Chacham doctor. As the Gemara says, the Chilas of Dima, Rabbi Yechni says, if he was a well-known doctor, then it's permitted to use even the non-Jew, because he wouldn't risk his reputation to make him the Koreish Shavcha, and there even Rabbi would agree that you could use the Reifei Avikacham. But the Gemara still asks, the Sub Rabbi Yehuda Kuti Shabbat Dami, it's okay, so Rabbi Meir is the one who says, you choose the Avikacham doctor, not the Kuti, and Rabbi Yehuda says, you choose the Kuti doctor, and not the Avikacham doctor. Is that so? But we're talking about the Braisa, that Yisrael Malas a Kuti, a Jew could circumcise a Kuti, but Kuti lo yamol Yisrael, the Kuti does not circumcise the Jew, and they shemol Hashem hagrizim, because he circumcises it for the purposes of their Avodah Zarah and hagrizim, div Rabbi Yehuda. Now, Amar Rabbi Yisrael said to him, what do you mean? V'chihechen metzinu milu min ha-Torah l'shma, where do you find in the Torah that circumcision has to be for the sake of l'shma, like we find by Karbonah, it has to be for the namesake of Hashem. Who cares what he's having in mind when he's circumcising the Jewish child? Let him circumcise until his soul leaves him. What do we care what he's thinking? He's still doing a bona fide circumcision. So Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. But one thing we see is that Rabbi Yehuda says that a Kuti cannot circumcise a Jew. So we have that contradiction. So Ella rather says the Gemara. So rather, yeah, it's like we originally had answered. You have to switch around the attributions of this brisa. According to Yehuda, it's forbidden for a Kuti to circumcise, and for a non-Jew it's permitted. And for a mayor, it's the other way around. The non-Jew is forbidden, like we had his original opinion, and for the Kuti, it's going to be permitted. Now, the reason is because a non-Jew, they don't usually circumcise their children for the purposes of Avodah Zarah. So you don't have that concern. Moreover, which we see Rabbi Yehuda holds that that is a concern, which Rabbi Yisrael was saying, I don't understand why that is, but that's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And moreover, there's not going to be a concern for murder, since there's other people standing over him. Now, says the Gemara, the Kakasha, Rabbi Huda, but what about the contradiction you had to Rabbi Huda's own opinions? Where we said, how could he say that, okay, Kuti can't because he's thinking about Avodah Zarah. The non-Jew could because he's not thinking about Avodah Zarah. And neither is there a problem about murder because there's other Jewish people standing around him. But he said that his Exeris HaKasav, the Torah says that the circumcision of a non-Jew is invalid. Because it says, Va'atis Brisi Tishma. What do we do with that? Says the Gemara, Hahi, that Brisa is not the Rabbi Huda that we were talking about. That's the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasihi. That's Rabbi Yehuda the prince, who put together the Mishnais. That's the Rabbi Yehuda that I was referring to. It's kind of like the Braisa, which shows that it was that Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasihi, he says this halacha of that other Braisa. Where do we know that circumcision done by a non-Jew is going to be invalid? So the Pasuk teaches, Va'atas Brisi Tishma, you, Avram, your children, might covenant you have to safeguard that only a Jew could do this circumcision and not a non-Jew, and therefore that's the resolution of the opinions in regards to that we had switched around, which was the resolution primarily of what we had brought in with Reb Meir, that yeah, Reb Meir holds, because we switched around the opinions in second brisa, he holds that the non-Jew is not allowed to circumcise the Jew because either he's going to murder, or even if there's people around, he might turn the Jew into a Krei Shavcha, make him unable to have children.